chapter 12. And I want to park at verse 25 to begin. And if y'all don't mind, I like to read more than one verse from my text. Is it all right to read from the Bible? Now, some churches, you know, they don't want the Bible read. But I think if you are a Bible-believing church, it ought to be all right to read from the Bible. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken. And as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And here is the text verse. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. From this contextual backdrop leaps the subject unshakable things in shaky times. The book of Hebrews has been called the fifth gospel. We all are familiar with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They give us the biography of the life of the greatest man who ever lived. And incidentally, his name is Jesus Christ and not Donald Trump. The four gospel talks about him as he lived and worked on earth. But the fifth gospel records his activities in heaven on the right hand throne of God Almighty. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he points out he's greater than angels, he's greater than men, greater than Moses, greater than Abraham, greater than Job, greater than Isaiah, greater than Ezekiel, greater than Daniel, name it. He's the greatest. And when John wrote John 3:31, John said, he that is from above is above all. He's above Buddha. He's above Muhammad. He's above Confucius. He is above all. And he doesn't take the back seat for nobody. Jesus is our Savior. And he is unshakable in shaky times. With Donald, Make America Great Again, Trump in the White House. Things are shaking from your house to the White House. Major cosmoclitic changes are impacting our lives everywhere. The family is shaky. Audacious adultery, flaunting, fornication. Folk used to be ashamed years ago, but they're bold now. And women used to be shy. Help me, Lord Jesus. But women are not shy no more. They walk up to you and they tell you what they want. Help me. One lady said, I said, I'm a preacher. She said, what does that have to do with it? Bold, help me, Lord Jesus. Open marriage, gay marriage. As long as I live, I will never unite a man to a man, not a woman to a woman. You can call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm not going to do it. And I tell the church in Newark, get your money ready, because if they arrest me, pay my bail and get me out so I can preach again on Sunday morning. I'm going to tell God's word is right. We're living in shaky times. In church, people of the world want to make us feel bad for believing in what the Bible says. But I'm not going to let no man put me on a guilty trip for believing what this Bible says. Say amen if you can. The Bible is right. And every now and then, I like to hear the preacher man say, the Bible is right. Man is not the standard. Now, I preach one way at 11, but I mean at 10, but I can't preach the same way at 11. It just comes out. But Gibbs said he's going to hear the same sermon, not quite. I take these flights. There are economic shockwaves that will revolutionize our world. And with Donald Trump having the privilege to select the second Supreme Court justice, his selection will change our society, affect our society for years to come. Businesses that have been around for 50 plus years are going out of business. Sears is standing on shaky ground. Stores that, like Lord and Taylor, close its flagship store on Fifth Avenue in New York. We're living in shaky times. And today you don't know a man from a woman. Jesus, help me. I said to one of the sisters, I said, hello, son. And she said, he ain't a boy, he's a girl. I said, well, he looks like a boy. What you need to do is dress him like a girl. Help me, Lord Jesus. She got mad with me. I do not believe in no unisex persons. I'm getting some funny eyeballs right now. Jobs are shaky. 50 years ago, after the civil rights legislation of 1964, our young black men are still an endangered species by the police and police brutality. Still cannot sit down in Starbucks and wait for a friend without being arrested. And our young ladies cannot go in the mall sometimes and shop and try on things without being pulled aside for shoplifting or being suspicious of shoplifting, accused. We're living in shaky time. But the question is there anything that cannot be shaken? There are two things I'd like to tell you. Number one, the isness of God cannot be shaken. Now, don't try to find that in the dictionary. The isness of God cannot be shaken. The abiding, eternal God stands sure, unthreatened by all of the shifts and changes, not of this time, but of the ages. God is from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before the mountain were brought forth, thou art God. Before there was a wind unaware, thou art God. Before man was created, thou art God. Before he said, let there be light, thou art God. Before you were born, thou art God. When you are gone, thou art God. Praise his holy name. God cannot be shaken. God is, not was, not gonna be, not might be, but God is. And I want to let you say a word to you students in college. Most of your professors who not God, have never read the Bible. Help me, Lord Jesus. Most of your professors who say Jesus Christ was not a historical Christ, can't prove it, really don't know what the Bible talks about. More proof for Jesus living than Socrates and Plato, Aristotle. You don't have to say amen, just pat your toes. More evidence that Christ lived than Buddha lived. Am I right about it? God is. And Robert Ingersoll went up and down on the East Coast in his lifetime with his agnostic thoughts, talking about his unbelief in God. But when he lost his brother at the graveside, he saw all of this philosophical and idealistic talk was not reality. And then he recognized that God is. Let me sound my trumpet. God is. And God is an awesome God. He's a good God, a merciful God, a loving God, a kind God, a wonderful God is he. and I shall not be moved. There's a word in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful. That's a sermon right there. God is faithful. I know Greenville Avenue is high tech and computer savvy and all that stuff. But is there anybody here who knows that God is faithful? I mean, is there anybody in here who sure enough know that God is faithful? Is anybody here that God know that God will never let you down? Does anybody know that he may not come when you want him, but he is always right on time? Can anybody in here say he's an on-time God? Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. That's the kind of God we serve. He's faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Most members of the church don't believe that scripture. You don't have to say anything. I know. Because when you lose your loved one, some of you act like you go lose your mind. Preach, Brother Lawton. Some of you try to pull your loved one out of the casket. Ask God, why? God, you take my loved one. Hello? Get in tough times. The husband loses his mind and walks off with a hot pants Jezebel. And the sister loses her mind. She gets mad with God and gets mad with the church. I'm saying to you, this scripture is a piece of filet mignon. God will not allow us to have anything happen in our lives that he will not make a way of escape. And when you connect this scripture with Romans 8, 28, and Romans 8, 31, for those of you who can't make no connection, all things work together for good of him that love the Lord. God has a way of making all things work out for our good. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Don't worry about what the world says. Just keep on holding to God's unchanging hands. Mercy, Lord. God is faithful. Say it to yourself when all earthly help has failed and friends walk away and leave you. God is faithful. Go into the sick room when sickness has disfigured your loved one, and sometimes it's hard to recognize your loved one. And sometimes you got to go to the hospital week after week and can't even communicate with your loved one, wrapped up in a coma. Say to yourself, God is faithful. And then when you have to make that lonely journey to the cemetery and leave the body of your loved one in the cold ground, And you get back into that limousine and go back to the church house and eat some chicken, green beans, and collard greens and potato salad. Say to yourself, God is faithful. Brother Gibbs, I've been up here 30 minutes and 12 seconds. Let me move to tell you that Jesus' kingdom, which is the church of Christ, is an unshakable kingdom. And I'm glad to know that. Can't no man close down the church of Christ. Donald Trump doesn't have the power. The Supreme Court doesn't have the power. The Emperor of Rome couldn't shut it down. Am I right about it? No man can put God's church out of business. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It shall stand forevermore. Daniel said in Daniel 2:44, it shall be broken into pieces, but it shall stand forever. God's kingdom shall not be moved. And if you're in the church of Christ, hold on to it. Don't leave it. As the little boy in the commercial said, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay on the battlefield until I die. Let me say a word to some of our change agents who are trying to destroy the Church of Christ. There's some of our preachers, some of our leaders, elders, and deacons have now redefined the church. We are now, by some's definition, just another denomination. I do not believe that. We are not non-denominational. We are anti-denominational. But now they are telling us the Church of Christ is just another church. I don't believe that. God's word has not changed. Fasten your seatbelts. We're going to have some turbulence in here. And I don't have any miracles in my bag, so I won't be able to help you if you fall out. So go on and fasten your seatbelts. I've been a member of the Church of Christ now for some 67 years. I've been preaching for 63 years. Been preaching for the same church for 53 years. Married to the same woman for 53 years, and I don't feel no ways tired yet. So you're not listening to some Johnny come lately speak. I got bruises. I got scars from being on the battlefield. I've been in hurricanes. My life has been endangered on Caribbean islands, but God kept me. And I want these change agents to understand that this is the Lord's church, and you cannot tear it up. There are some disturbing things going on in our brotherhood. Some people now are practicing what we used to fight against. We used to preach against calling the preacher pastor and senior pastor. But now some of our preachers are known as pastor, senior pastor. Now y'all getting mighty quiet now. But in Ephesians 4:11, Paul mentioned the offices of the church. Some were temporary and some were permanent. And among the permanent one, he said he gave some to be evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. The evangelist refers to the minister. And the word pastor in this text refers to elders, presbyters, or bishops in the church. Hello? And a man who is not an elder simultaneously as a preacher ought not be called pastor. Hello? Pardon me, I'm trying to get over cold, so I have to do what I have to do to keep going. And I don't have to apologize. All right, I'm clear now. The word pastor is defined by Webster. Is the minister in charge of a Christian church? That's the way the world uses the term pastor. But that's not a biblical definition. Say amen if you can. And some of our preachers trying to be like other churches, other preachers, want a mega church. Help me, Lord Jesus. They looking for all of this glory and fame and what have you. And so now they are the pastor of the church. And one young man is called the senior pastor of the church. That's not a biblical term for an officer of the church. Now you can go and break it down and do an exegetical study about this and that. But if you're calling yourself an officer of the church, you ought to call things by Bible name. Somebody ought to say amen. And when you say pastor in your particular definition, the way you think you are a pastor, the world does not understand what you are saying. They think you are saying, out of all of the ministers of a given congregation, you are the one in charge of that church. Y'all need to say amen in here. Y'all looking at me so funny now. But I'm backing up what I'm saying. And the Bible is right. Now, I'm not disrespecting preachers, and I think preachers ought to be honored and respected, but only according to the Bible. The word pastor is mentioned only one time in the King James Version. Ephesians 4:11. Just one. Hello? And you see this on Facebook, on social media, pastor, blah, blah, blah. But the church is going to stand. And usually when a person goes out in this direction, there is another area, he becomes what I call a pulpit cutie. He will exegete, he will exposit, he will give you a word study, but he will not give you the simple plan of salvation. And Aunt Jane and Uncle Jim walk away not knowing what to do to be saved. You don't have to say amen, just pat your toes, because deep down in your soul, you know I'm right. This is God's church, and it shall stand forever. There's one more thing I want you to say. Preachers don't preach like they used to preach. And I'm disturbed by this. And I made mention of this in my message at the National Lectureship in Greensboro a few weeks ago. In the Bible, the New Testament churches were identified by location unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, unto the churches of Galatia, Galatians 1 and 2, unto the churches of the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 1. And when John wrote the book of Revelation, he talks about the seven churches of Asia. And isn't it oxymoronic? None of them were called by any other thing other than location. Out of seven churches, looked like you could get something else in there. Let's go down the line. The church at Ephesus, Revelation 2 and 1. The church at Smyrna, church at Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, church at Sardis, the church in Philadelphia, the church in Laodicea. All of them were by location. But today, we got the New Horizon Church of Christ, the Hope Church of Christ, the Bold Believers Church of Christ, the Light of the World Church of Christ. That's not biblical identification. Somebody ought to say amen. The Bible is right, and I'm going to stay with the Bible. When you identify the church, identify the Bible way. We say we speak what the Bible speaks and the silent what the Bible is silent. Let's practice what we preach. Say amen if you can. We used to preach the one Lord, one faith and the one baptism, the one hope of your calling. But now, today, it's hard to distinguish a gospel preacher from a denominational preacher. Doctrine is watered down. Very few evangelistic sermons. Preachers don't give the plan of salvation. Some give it so fast, I don't even know they have given the plan of salvation. And I asked him about it. He said, well, I gave it. Well, man, I've been preaching 63 years. Looked like I could have found it or heard it. Now, if I didn't hear it, what about a sinner? Preach, Brother Lawton. I got to conclude. I've been up here 43 minutes. This Bible is right. And I'm so glad that I know him. And so glad that he knows me. And if the Lord never does anything else for me, he's already done enough. I said, if the Lord never, ever does anything else for me, child, he has already done enough. He woke me up this morning, started me on another day's journey, clothed me in my right mind, put some food on my table, gave me a body to eat it and digest it and not get sick. I said, if the Lord never does anything else for me, he's already done enough. He guides me as I travel on my journey. He keeps me from falling, and he helps me to keep my feet in slippery places. If the Lord never does anything else for me, child, he's already done enough. You're looking at a man, cancer-free, two times. I had a malignant tumor on my right side. And they operated on me for 4.5 hours. Took the tumor out and took my kidney out. And that left kidney kicked right in. And it's been kicking ever since. I said, if the Lord never does anything else to me, he's done enough. 6 months later, I had seed implantation for prostate cancer. I went in that morning and went back home that afternoon. The next day, I went to work. And 18 years later, let me sound my trumpet. I'm cancer free. If the Lord never does anything else for me, he's already done enough. He's good. He's been my bridge over troubled waters. He's been my leaning post in the time of trouble. He made a way out of no way. He opened up doors that no man can shut. He keeps on blessing me all over and over again. And you know I like being old. Some folks say old folk, being old is no joke. But I don't take it that way. I'm glad I'm old. I tell you, I've seen some things in my old age that I haven't seen in my young age. People are nice to me and kind to me of all kind of races. Can I preach a little while in here? He just keeps on blessing me over and over again and Gibbs had called me over here to give me this kind of honor and this kind of honor. And now they start, when they give me the honor, they give me $2,000 and $3,000 with the plaque. I tell you, help me somebody. He keeps blessing me over and over again. If the Lord never does anything else for me, he's already done enough. If you're here today, you need Jesus. Young man, you need Jesus more than you need a haircut. Young man, you need Jesus more than you need a set of wheels. You need Jesus more than you need a girlfriend. Some of these girls will make you lose your mind. And then sometime when you get them, you wish you had lost your mind. But you need Jesus in your life. And I want to say a word to those who are millennial. This church doesn't belong to you. And it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And he is the head of his church. And you and I don't decide how it's going to be operated. Corporate world does not decide. Jesus has already decided. Now, no 18-year-old person is going to come to me and teach me how to operate the church. Teach me how to give the plan of salvation. Help me, Lord Jesus. See, you're not even grown yet. Help me, Lord Jesus. You're still home eating mama's and daddy's food, living under mama's and daddy's rent, on the internet using mama and daddy's money. Help me, Lord Jesus. Young folk, you haven't been through nothing. You're trying to become a man. You're trying to become a woman. You're looking at somebody who's been through much. But it's only by the favor and the grace of God that I survived. I came from a dysfunctional family. Well, don't be blaming the family. Use what you is got. And don't worry about what you ain't got. If you're black, all of us came from dysfunctional families. Gibbs, I'm trying to take my seat. You need Jesus in your life. And the ministers and the elders and teachers of the church are mature. They know the scripture, and they want to keep this church New Testament church. We're not trying to be like other churches. We are distinctively different, and you need the Lord in your life. There are some problems you're going to have that philosophy cannot solve. There are some situations that you're going to have in life that Dr. Phil can't fix it, and Dr. Oz doesn't have the answer. But Jesus has the answer. And the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, I'm meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest to your weary soul. My yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. You need him. You can't find him by raising your hand. You can't find him by laying your hand on the television or the radio. You can't find him by anointing and waiting for something to come down over you and thrill you and electrocute you. Jesus, I need some help in here. You can't find him in no sinner's prayer listening to Joel Osteen, who says, if I don't want to close my sermon without giving the sinner man the opportunity to become a child of God. And he says, repeat after me the sinner's prayer. And between our Father and amen, you're bound again, filled with the Holy Ghost, can speak in tongues. Help me, Lord Jesus. Ain't none of that's true. John 9:31 is still in the Bible now. We know God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he will hear. For those of you who don't know it, I'm extending the invitation. I know you haven't heard in a long time by some visiting preachers. Didn't I come out of there smoothly? By some visiting preachers. I know you got a strong preacher here. But you got to tell a person what is not obeying the gospel in order for him to understand what is obeying the gospel. Because you start out with what is, he thinks you're talking about what's not. If you want to be saved today, there are 5 simple things that everybody must do. It doesn't matter what your generation is, baby boomers, millennial, what is the next one, Gen X or whatever. We all got to obey the same thing. You got to hear the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You got to hear the greatest love story. And the greatest love story is not about Donald Trump. It's about Jesus Christ. He bled, suffered, and died that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You come by believing in him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8:24. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after. Young folk, I'm telling you something. When you do what God says, he'll bless you. You don't know what being blessed is like until you've been born again. God bless you. You don't know what joy is all about until you've been to the water, been baptized. Weed doesn't bring joy. Angel dust doesn't bring no joy. Bloody Mary doesn't bring no joy. Can I preach a little while in hell? But Jesus will bless you like you've never been blessed before. He will reward them that diligently seek after him. He'll just keep blessing you over and over. And sometimes, you know, when Jesus gets to blessing you, some members of the church can't wait until Sunday morning. They get on the telephone and call me and tell me, Brother Lord, you know how good God is to me? I can't wait until Sunday morning to tell how good God is. Repent of your sins and make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you are baptized. Thank God for the lady who was baptized this morning. Baptism is a burial in water. For what? For the remission of your sins. Now don't sit there and act like you ain't got none. Don't sit like that. You don't know what sin is. Help me, Lord Jesus. Baptism is for the forgiveness of all of your past sins. And only Jesus can wash your sins away. I hear somebody singing. Tell me, preacher, what can make me whole again? Tell me what can wash my sins away? And I hear somebody way over yonder, way over yonder in the background, saying nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me as white as snow. No other fount I know is nothing but the blood. And the only way you can come in contact with the blood is in water baptism. John, Mary, have you been to the water? Have you been baptized? The Lord is knocking on the door of your soul. I got just one more thing to say. Somebody said I was sprinkled. I had water poured on me. That's how I got baptized. And they used to say, one drop is just as good as an ocean, you know. But when you go to the service station, as high as gas is, 1 gallon of gas is not as good as a tank full. Do I have any witnesses in here? On what the world calls so-called Easter Sunday, the Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, baptized about 5 people. And one of them was a black man, soul brother. He was darker than I am. Help me, Lord Jesus. Nobody had to tell me he was an immigrant from Nigeria or some one of those countries. And they showed this on the national news, the evening national news, the morning national news, Today and all that stuff. They had this man to kneel before the Pope, and he dropped a few drops of water on his head. And the news reporters and those that were there said, oh, he was baptized. And I'm looking at that, and I'm saying to myself, how sad it is that the Pope doesn't know how to baptize anybody. The head of the Catholic Church. Baptism is a burial in water. John was baptized in near Enoch because there was much water there. John 3:30. The Bible is right. Baptism is a going down into the water and a coming up out of the water. John, have you been baptized? Mary, young man, if you're 18 years old and you're black, you are an endangered species. If a gang doesn't get you, the police brutality will get you. And if the police brutality doesn't get you, somebody else will get you. They're out to destroy all of our black men. You need Jesus in your life. But remember this. If you die on the outside of Christ, heaven is not going to be your home. And so I'm asking you to come to him. We're going to be standing in just a few moments. It doesn't matter who you are, young or old. Come on down to Jesus. And if you're here today as a child of God, and you have not been a faithful child of God, you've been slipping and sliding, you've been ducking and hiding, in and out, off and on sometime. Too quiet now. Y'all helped me when I was outside, but when I'm on the inside, you don't even help me at all. But somebody needs to say, Lord, I've wandered far from God, but now I'm coming home. And this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If you're here today, you need unshakable faith in God, Christ Jesus, and his church. And I don't care what you're going through, the Lord will make a way somehow. Does anybody know the Lord will make a way? Has he made a way for anybody in here? What about over there? What about in the upper room? Has the Lord made a way for anybody upstairs? He's in the way-making business. Won't you come to him as we stand and sing?